was dark and damp, save for one little candle that cast a glow across the cobblestone floor that kind of danced and flickered in the solitary cell. For hours, this jail cell had been full of a chorus of water dripping from the ceiling, the sound of a quill scratching words on parchment, and the occasional clink of chain against the solid stone floor. That is, until this solemn symphony came to a stop, when a gruff whisper broke the silence from the depths of the darkness. "But God's word is not chained." The voice had come from a poor excuse of a man. He was wearing tattered clothes. His wrists and ankles were cut and bruised and scarred from his long stay in solitary confinement. He sat in the corner, hunched over a large leaf of paper with many others scratched out and crumpled up pages strewn about him. "But God's word is not chained," he mutters to himself again, before he dives back into his work with a renewed vigor. The ragged old man's name was Paul, the Apostle Paul. For many years, he had escaped arrest from the Roman government with a combination of cunning tactics, political strategy, and God's grace. But a few years earlier, God had made it clear to Paul that he was going to be arrested. And since Paul had always wanted to see the Christians in the capital city of Rome, and since he knew his arrest was imminent, he appealed to the highest power in the land, to the emperor himself, to Nero. So off he went. And after a long, long, long journey that involved some shipwrecks and some perilous snake bites, he finally arrives in the capital city of Rome and is put in house arrest. And for 2 years, life's not too bad. He has guards at the door, but he has friends coming and going. He gets to meet the Christians in Rome. He has people caring for his needs. But Paul's luck runs out when the emperor Nero begins his hellish tirade against the Christian church. So Paul's house arrest goes to solitary confinement. His friends that he'd see every day, well, they were gone because they were afraid of the Romans. And his caregivers, well, they were now few and far between. But worst of all was that Paul was stuck, chained to the wall, knowing full well that his believers, his loved ones, his fellow members in Christ were enduring persecution and suffering, and he couldn't be there with them. It was this heartache that motivated Paul's pen to go even faster as he wrote a letter to his protege, a young pastor named Timothy. Paul's candle had almost burned out by the time he had finished the letter, and with a sigh, he lifted the page up to the dim light and began to read the large letters scrawled across the page. He got to this section. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." I endure everything. Well, Paul thought, he's certainly gone through a lot. He had been stoned, whipped many times, shipwrecked. He'd almost died from hypothermia and from heat exhaustion, from starvation, and from dehydration. But the physical pain wasn't the worst of it. It was bad, but it didn't compare to the emotional pain, the pain caused by the opponents, their harsh words, their deceptions, their hatred of Paul, even though he was part of their own nation and people. The physical pain was bad, and the emotional pain from the opponents was worse. but nothing could compare to the pain caused by the Christians. There were times he couldn't help but break down in ragged sobs when he thought about his people. He hurt for their persecution. He hurt because of their rejection from society. He hurt because they so often lived Christian lives of love and got nothing but hate in return. But he not only hurt because of their suffering, but he also hurt because of their disagreement. He hurt because of their anger for each other. He hurt because of the quarrels that were quite literally tearing their church apart. He hurt because they were more quick to be right than to love. They were more quick to get what they wanted than to serve. They were more quick to focus on their own pride, their own egos, their own comfort, than to focus on the spread of the gospel. So Paul writes to them, I endure everything. Surely if Paul, their mentor and leader and father, was willing to endure all these things for their sake, then surely they'd be willing to endure much less for each other. But how foolish Paul was being. The Christians had a better champion than Paul. Remember Jesus, he writes. Remember Jesus, who, being very God, did not consider being God something to be used for his advantage, but instead made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. If the God of glory is willing to suffer all things for sinners, then surely the Christians would be willing to endure much less for each other. Surely. We endure all things, don't we? Aren't we just like Paul, a bunch of chained Christians? Don't we know what it's like to suffer for being Christians? Aren't we familiar with the anti-Christian rhetoric in the media? Aren't we familiar with watching the Christian values in our society slowly declining? Aren't we familiar with the snide comments and the furtive glances when we manage to get out, well, I'm a Christian. This Christian stuff is not for the faint of heart. It's hard. And yet you're here. You're in worship. You're worshiping your Lord. You're giving your offerings and your time and your talents. You're sitting nice and polite and kind in your pews, listening to the word, while the rest of the world thinks that you're out of your minds. We endure everything, don't we? Take a moment this morning and consider, do you endure all things for the sake of your fellow believers? Even the small things? Or are you quick to want to be right and not to love? Are you quick to rather get what you want and not to serve? Are you quick to focus on your pride, your ego, your comforts, and completely disregard the gospel call that God has made to you? Dear friends, the world is doing its best to destroy the church from the outside. Let's not fall for Satan's trap and start destroying the church from the inside. Like Paul, we are chained Christians, but we are chained in more than one way. We're chained with him in our sufferings, yes, but we're also chained with him in our sin. Do I do all things for the sake of believers? Do I endure all things? I couldn't answer yes. Could you? I'm quick to hold a grudge. I'm quick to want to be right and not care about what other people think. I'm quick to get upset when things don't go the way I want them to. I'm quick to talk behind people's back instead of talking to them face to face, reconciling and seeking forgiveness. Maybe you can relate. Chained Christians. That's what we are. Condemned to walk around with our sins, jingling and jangling, bound to this wall of having to be focused on nothing more or less than what I want. I'm a chained Christian. But God's word is not chained. Though we sin, God's word speaks forgiveness. Though we suffer, God's word speaks comfort. Though the church seems to be crumbling all around us across the world, God's word still works. So what is this word of God that is free from chains when there's so many chains binding the rest of the world? Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. This is the unchained gospel. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the giver of freedom and forgiveness, the champion of the sinner and sufferer. Jesus Christ, the very God who would rather die than watch you die, who endured all things, even death on the cross for you, to break your chains, to release your shackles. And he has. And you want proof? Look at the empty tomb. Death's chains couldn't hold your Jesus. And if death's chains couldn't hold him, do you think that Jesus is going to let death hold you? No. Never. This is the gospel. This is the good news of salvation. This is the reason we endure all things for each other. Dear Christians, do you realize what you carry with you? Do you realize what gift God has given you? Do you realize what this unchained gospel means? It means that no matter what physical chains and suffering you endure in this life, no matter what spiritual chains Satan can throw at you, you can't be bound. You're free. You're forgiven. Your destiny is eternal glory with Jesus. So as you live and love, speak and serve as the Christians that God has made you to be, you carry with you the power of God. The power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And it is the same powerful God that now sends you to give this gospel to anyone and everyone you can, so that more and more people might come to know your chain-breaking, life-giving, salvation-winning God. So members of faith, let's be strong in the grace of our loving God. Let's suffer with the Apostle Paul and endure what comes with being true Christians. Let's be soldiers of Jesus, marching together in equal formation, no favorites, willing to focus on what's best for each other instead of best for what's best for ourselves. And let's run the race marked out for us by Jesus Christ, so that with all our devotion, all our attention, all our effort, we may focus on God's true mission. The proclamation of the unchained gospel. Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There'll be times when it's uncomfortable. You might get annoyed. You might give up a lot of your time. You might get hurt. And you'll probably hurt somebody else. After all, on this side of heaven, the chains of sin and suffering still jingle and jangle. But when those chains get heavy, and they will, preach the unchained gospel, but not only to others, but also to yourself. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Lift your eyes to Jesus Christ and the empty tomb. Remind yourself to be strong in the grace of God, because God's grace is stronger than anything. And open your ears once more to God's unchainable promise. If we died with him, and we have, we will also live with him. If we endure, and we do, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, and we haven't, he will disown us. But even if we're faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Chained Christians, you are God's own. And this unchainable promise is for you. Amen.